You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Well, hello and welcome to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast for Thursday. It's a very busy day of action, as it has been all this week, actually, with day three of Glorious Goodwood, day four of the Galway Festival over in Ireland. We've also got Stratford and Nottingham in the afternoon, and Fosslass and Epsom in the evening. Plenty to look forward to on Racing Radio with Darren Owen, Gareth Topham and Chris Pimlott from 1:20pm. But for now, my name's John Gibby, in the company of Rory De Laghi, to look ahead to some of the races at Goodwood tomorrow. Hello, Rory, how are you?
I'm very well, John. Thank you very much.
Fantastic news. Yes, I know. After we just had a conversation about how you've been a bit under the weather. But hopefully you get well soon, and hopefully we can find some winners today. But first of all, let's have a look at some of the races from the first day of Glorious Goodwood, Rory. As we record this, we've only had one of the races on day two. So we'll have a look at the action on Tuesday. And well, I suppose the obvious place to start would be with the Goodwood Cup, won by the three-year-old Stradivarius, beating Big Orange, the short price favourite in this one. Were you surprised to see the three-year-old run so well?
Not particularly, no. And he was quite well backed in the end, Stradivarius. They're going just on the easy side, and Big Orange is a wonderful horse, but his best form is on good or quicker ground, and it made him marginally vulnerable there, and giving lumps of weight away to a three-year-old. It made it pretty much impossible, despite the fact that he ran his usual honest race, and he pulled clear of the rest in the final couple of furlongs as well. So he's run close to form, but Stradivarius is just an improving three-year-old stayer in receipt of Weight for Age, which has become a bit of a hot topic of late. People discussing whether Weight for Age is really necessary at all in the top races. We've had two easy winners now in the last week in Group 1 contests, receiving lumps of weight. After Enable won the King George of the weekend very easily. In fairness, it's a cyclical thing. You know, we go through periods where the three-year-olds really struggle, and we wonder whether they're getting enough weight from their elders, and then you get a couple come along and win easily, and everyone's up in arms.
Helders and Ledger entry, is that where you'd be looking next for him?
Yeah, obviously. If he only stays 2 miles already. The St. Ledger, I tend to think of it as 1.6 miles, but it's closer to 1.7 miles at a stiff track. Connections have won this race before. So they clearly have an eye on the St. Ledger, although there'll be other targets between now and then. It'll be interesting to see where he goes. He might go for the Lonsdale Cup, perhaps. I've not even checked whether the Lonsdale Cup's open to three-year-olds, but we don't get too many three-year-olds running in these big staying races. He was the first three-year-old to win the Goodwood Cup since 1990, but only 10 have tried in the 27 years in between.
Despite the weight allowance.
Yes, yeah. Mm.
Well, very interesting to see him win there. And Big Orange defeated back in second. I think it's just one of those things, came up against a better horse on the day and all the rest of it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he comes out as the best horse of the weights anyway. He was, what, how far clear of the third was he?
Three and a half lengths.
3.5 lengths. I mean, you can't really knock that, can you?
No.
It would have been interesting if a couple of the two horses who missed out because of injury, Dal Harold and Simple First, had actually lined up, because they would have been interesting contenders against Big Orange. But you've got to love the horse. He's done me a couple of good turns. Sadly, I backed him twice before he popped up at 25-1 at Newmarket a couple of seasons ago. That's basically when I thought he'd be okay on soft ground, and he was beaten on soft ground at Chester in the Ormond Stakes, and then in the big staying race at the York May Festival as well, when he got a very negative ride. But aggressive riding and quick grind has made a man of him since then.
So Stradivarius beat Big Orange in the newly Group 1 Goodwood Cup on the first day of Glorious Goodwood. Let's have a look at the Lennox Stakes now, Rory. Britain Rock, a big price winner of this, 50-1. I wouldn't have been backing him for this, but I was a bit surprised when I saw the SP.
Yeah, that's what he's one of, we discussed this on air yesterday. He's one of those horses that you look at the race and you try to narrow the field, and you reluctantly kick him out fairly early because of his wide draw, and the fact that, you know, he's clearly no better than a Group 2 horse, most of his form at a marginally lower level. Oh, he's placed in the Lockinge, a Group 1 first time out. He's very, very reliable when there's a bit of dig in the ground. I think most people would have thought there wasn't quite enough dig in the ground yesterday for him. But it's probably softer in the straight than everyone was led to believe, essentially. And he was given a very, very good ride by Andrea Azzaini. As I said, you kind of rule him out in the first place. But if you just looked at that race for the first time 5 minutes before the off and saw that he was 50-1 and upwards, you would have been tempted to throw a couple of bob at him.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. The more you look at a race in advance, the less likely you are to pick a horse that drifts to a big price. But he's been an absolute star for David Simcock over the years. Better than ever this time around. He painted at that in the lockage anyway. And he's backed that up fully here. But given a good ride by Andrea Azzaini, lots of jockeys are drawn wide at Goodwood, think they've got to get across to the rail, and it's almost always a recipe for disaster. You're checking your momentum and you're running into traffic problems. And Andrea just kept wide, allowed the horse to do his own thing, never had his stride checked at any point of the race, had to come wide into the straight, but he wasn't deviating his course, and he was able to maintain his momentum all the way through. And if you look at the number of horses who seem to travel well and ran into trouble there, you can see what a difference that made.
Absolutely flew home for the final furlong, didn't he? What about Lamarto? What do you make of his run?
Very, very disappointing in the end, because he seemed to have the run of the race. Home of the Brave set it up as expected. Lamarto was well placed to the fore of midfield, travelled best of all, came through to seemingly to win the race, and then got worried out of it. The fact that he only finished fourth in the end is very disappointing.
And he's only beaten three quarters of a length, but on his best form, you know, he's obviously a great deal better than Breton Rock, Home of the Bread and Swedois. So do you think he's just past his best now?
I think there has to be a possibility. I mean, he's still running really well. He's still hitting the frame in group events, and he was second in the July Cup last time out. And again, individually, you can make excuses for all his performances. The problem is the excuses are mounting up now, and you would say, judged on yesterday, if you looked at it as a one-off, you'd say he'd probably be better on quicker ground and drop to six furlongs, given how he travels. And obviously, he's raced at between five and seven, or five and a mile even, in the last year or two. He stays seven, but I think he's best short of it. And he ran a cracker in the Nunthorpe last year behind Mecca's Angel. So he's got no problem with sprint trips. The ground obviously would have been slightly softer than he liked. But the thing is, he didn't seem to resent the ground at all. He travels supremely well. It's just the end product isn't quite there at the moment.
Well, a great day for Andrea Azzaini, of course, with those two winners we've just mentioned. Let's talk about another group winner for the man. Now, what did you make of the performance of Expert Eye, Sir Michael Stout's two-year-old in the Vintage Stakes?
Yeah, hugely impressive. Anyone who wasn't impressed by Expert Eye's win is trying to be clever. I'm not sure I'd want to back him at 4 or 5 to 1 for the Guineas. You know, there are plenty of other sources of top two-year-olds through the season. And you don't lose an awful lot waiting a couple of months to see what comes out of Mally Doyle, for example. But this was hugely impressive to the eye. Probably not an incredibly fast time. But what was really impressive about it was just the fact that he cruised through past group class horses. You can clearly knock the form to some degree. He hasn't beaten superstars, but he's beaten really solid horses in Zaman and Mildenberger. Mildenberger would have preferred it if he was able to get to the lead early, but he wasn't brilliantly out of the stalls, and then he got caught in a pocket. He's the kind of horse who doesn't quicken. He just gallops. Whereas Expert Eye showed a really smart turn of foot without being asked any questions.
I think the way he travelled and picked up can be summed up by something that happened in the office earlier on. I was watching a replay of this race, and William Hill's Sam Norris was sort of watching it over my shoulder the final couple of furlongs, and he went, "Oh, John, was that Frankel winning the Sussex Stakes a couple of years ago?"
Well, there you go. That's Sam. Yeah, he did it. And I mean, we don't want to make cheap comparisons with Frankel, but when horses are able to put races to bed like that without seeming to be asked an effort at all, asked for an effort, they have to be very good. So it'll be interesting to see where Expert Eye goes next. And he's going to be a tough nut to crack. He looks the best we've seen so far this season.
On a day of big price winners at Glorious Goodwood, those were the three group events. Rory Dargie's thoughts on those. But more importantly, Rory, let's turn our attention to the action on Thursday. Further three group events to get our teeth stuck into. But it all starts off with a very competitive-looking handicap at 150 over a mile and two furlongs for three-year-olds. We've got plenty. How many? 18 declared for this one. It's a big field. It's an 11-2 favourite at the moment in the form of Adiyeb, handicap debutant winner last time out. Eugenio is a 8-1, Frontispiece 9-1, also 9-1 for King's Gift and Mutarabi, Archetype 10-1, also the same price for Good Omen and Hold Sway and 14-1 and bigger the remainder. What is taking your eye on all of this?
It's an absolute nightmare. There are lots of horses in here, as you'd expect from a three-year-old handicap at one of the top meetings, who have half an eye on Pattern Company at some stage. Adabe was very impressive last time. It's clearly going the right way. The thing I think to concentrate on is the ground. It's going to be soft. And that's a question mark for the vast majority of them. Some of those who are unproven and soft will come through with flying colours and actually look better because of it. But I'd rather look for something solid in the conditions. And I like the look of King's Gift. Drawn quite wide. I'm not worried about a wide draw here. Over 7 furlongs, there's a fair bias towards those drawn low. But over longer trips, theoretically, a low draw is an advantage. But they always crowd up at Goodwood, and there tends to be plenty of trouble. And horses coming down the outside of the field tend to do pretty well. So as long as you're well-ridden, then a wide draw shouldn't be a massive concern. And King's Gift in 14 looks fairly handicapped off 100. He's only had one run in handicaps as such, and that was when beaten just over half a length in the John Smith's Handicap Class 2 event at York last time out, over a mile. That was on good to firm ground, but arguably his best effort last season came when he was second in the Horace Hill on soft ground at Newbury. So soft ground holds no fears for him. He was well beaten in the French Guineas on soft ground first time out, but that's a tough race. Mm. Most of these would have been lapped in that contest.
Different kind of fish, really.
Yeah, he finished midfield. He wasn't entirely disgraced, but this will give him much more chance to show what he can do. And he looks perfectly well handicapped. I think when horses show what they can do, the handicapper tends to be a little bit kinder to them. If you're running in group races and running quite well, the handicapper tends to give you a mark based on what you've achieved. A lot of horses who win ordinary maiden races easily, the handicapper doesn't want to look a fool and ends up giving them a few pounds extra for what they might be capable of. And therefore, horses who appear to be exposed sometimes have better chances in handicaps than it looks. And I don't think the 100 that King's Gift has been given is an impossible mark to overcome.
King's Gift, the choice for Rory DeLarghi in that opening handicap on day 3 of Glorious Goodwood. We move now through to have a look at some of the group races taking place, in fact all 3 of the group races taking place on this day of the Glorious Festival. And we start with the artist formerly known as the Lily Langtry Stakes, now carrying a sponsor's name, Rory. The 225 over 1 mile, 6 furlongs. It's a group 3, and it's for 3-year-olds and above fillies, of course, in this one. And we do have odds for this one as well. Endless Time is a 4-1 favourite. Melodic Motion, also 4-1. Natural Scenery, 6-1. Diamonds Pour Moi, 9-1. Same price for Wild Irish Rose. 10-1 for Richard Legacy. 11-1 for Dubka. And 12-1 and Bigger the Rest. Relatively competitive looking affair, this one, Rory?
It is, yes.
Does this one stand out?
I'm not sure there's an absolute... I mean, Endless Time is arguably the one who stands out on the pick of her efforts. And her best effort was finishing second in the Prix Vermeil last autumn. Clearly, if she she runs up to that form, she goes close. She was also runner-up in the Prix Royal Oak over a mile and 7. She hasn't quite rediscovered that form this season. She wasn't beaten far in the Yorkshire Cup, but that was a really muddling race. Difficult to be sure how strong the form of that is. And High Jinx, for example, who was in front of her that day, went off at any price you like in the Goodwood Cup yesterday. So it's slightly... You wouldn't want to make a judgment as to whether she was as good this year as last based on that run. And then she was only 10th in the Gold Cup. Now, this is much easier than that, and she could easily bounce back to form, and she does handle a bit of dig in the ground. It was good for her 2 very good runs in France last season. And she gets cheap pieces on for the first time. So you can make a strong case for her on old form. But I'm inclined to look for a bit of value elsewhere. Melodic Motion's improving all the time. The daughter of Nathaniel, she might start favourite in the end. There's not much between the pair of them in the market. They're joint favourites as it stands. But I think people like an improver, and obviously Melodic Motion getting plenty of weight, getting £11 from Endless Time, especially people looking at the weight for age scale at the moment and asking questions. Mm. They're going to be favouring the 3-year-olds. In saying that, I like the chances of Dubka. Purely price related, Dubka is an 11-1 shot. She was disappointing last time out. But in fairness, that was in the Lancashire Oaks, which is a strong race, and it came on quick ground, and I don't think she likes quick ground. She's had two runs on quick ground this season. She's been well beaten both times. First time out in the Daisy Warwick Stakes, which is a pretty weak listed race. She was beaten 11 and a half lengths into sixth, and then she was much, much better when finishing second in the Pinnacle Stakes on soft ground at Haydock. She comes from a soft ground family, a family who stays really well, and she was only beaten by Patil, who's a smart filly. She was trained here last season, trained by Francis-Henri Graffard now, but she's a proper Group 2 filly, and Dubka came well clear of Ashman Princess, who was strongly fancied for that. I think she will love the ground, and I think she will appreciate the step up to a mile and three quarters again in these conditions. Ryan Moore takes the ride. She's fairly drawn. She comes from a yard who are in better form now than they have been at any other time of the season. And although she doesn't have outstanding claims, I think she's got very solid claims in the conditions.
Well, Dubka there for Aurorian of the Langtry Group 3 at Glorious Goodwood off at 2:25 on Thursday, day 3 of the festival. And we now move back to two-year-old company for the Richmond Stakes over 6 furlongs. It's Group 2 for two-year-olds, of course, and it's off at 3 o'clock. A few of these we've seen run very well or even win in a group company so far this season, Rory. Headway being the 5-2 favourite. Card Sharp, 7-2. US Navy Flag is 5-1. Barracero is 13-2. Same price about Invincible Army. Nebo is 7-1 and it's 16-1 and bigger. The remainder, as I say, a few of these have either gone very, very close or have won in Group 2 company previously. Would you see their claims as being stronger than the others as a result of that?
Not necessarily. And it's worth... I don't think... I wouldn't be relying on Royal Ascot form, is one thing I would say. Particularly the form of the Coventry. Headway's favourite for this at the moment. I can see Headway being weak. Was it 5-2 at this stage?
Yeah.
I'm not sure Headway will start favourite. He obviously showed improved form to finish second in the Coventry. That form just hasn't worked out. The winner, the third, the fourth, the fifth have all come out and been beaten since. And you would expect at least one of those from a race like the Coventry to be franking the form. I just don't think it was that good a race. It was running very, very fast ground as well, which suited some horses other more than others. And it suited horses drawn away from the wings as well on the day. So I think Headway might just be flattered by that. And of course, he's now running on soft ground for the first time. So I'd be wary of him. And I can see him being weak in the market. Card Sharp also ran at the Royal Meeting. I'd like him a lot more. He was beaten at Royal Ascot. That was in the Norfolk Stakes. He still ran very well. And he has been better either side of that on softer ground. He won at Beverley, the Brian Yeardley two-year-old trophy. And then he improved to win the July Stakes at Newmarket last time out on ground just the easy side of good. So he should run well, but the one I like here is Nebo, who also ran at that Newmarket July meeting last time out. He ran over 7 furlongs, and he was second in the Superlative Stakes to Gustav Klimt, who everyone raved about afterwards. He was probably flattered to finish as close as he did to Gustav Klimt, but he was only beaten, was it head or a short head? In the end, ahead, I think.
Yeah, ahead.
And he ran a really solid race. The ground was just on the easy side there. More significantly, he bolted up on soft ground in his debut at Newbury. And then he ran at Royal Ascot in the Coventry, and he was clearly behind Headway, but he was drawn on the wrong part of the track, and he probably didn't appreciate the ground either. I think he's a lot better than that, and he showed that by leaving that form behind in the Superlative. The Superlative is not a fantastic race, and it was slightly messy, and the winner did well to overcome trouble in running and having to get from one side of the track to the other. But Nebo looked very straightforward there. Saw the 7 furlongs out well, so 6 furlongs on soft ground. He will have no issues in terms of stamina. And I think he's got the best of the draw and stall one. I like horses coming up the middle of the track over this trip on softish ground. And he looks really solid winning place. I think he'd be very, very hard to kick out the frame here.
Well, Nebo, the selection there for Rory in the Richmond Stakes. It could wood off at 3 o'clock, that Group 2 contest. And we now move to the final of the televised or terrestrial televised races. And the final race we're going to be looking at, and that's one of the biggest races of the week, Rory, of course, the Nassau Stakes off at 3:35, the Group 1 for fillies and mares over a mile, 2 furlongs, one of the biggest Group 1s for fillies and mares. that we have in the flat racing calendar, and it looks quite a decent contest with Winter stepping up in trip here, the 13-8 favourite. Somidar 5-1, Queen's Trust is 11-1, and Neswar is 7-1. Shutter Speed is also 7-1. Wahada is 10-1, and it's 14-1 and bigger for the other three. I think the big question here, Rory, is do you think Winter's going to stay or not?
No. In short, I do not think she will stay. I especially don't think she'll stay on the grind. I know she handles the grind. She showed that when she won the Irish Guineas, but it just puts more pressure on stamina. Her dam was very fast. I know she's by Galileo, but the dam was very fast. She won the Wokingham, and Winter has looked all speed in that she clearly stays a mile well, but she doesn't grind it out over a mile. She travelled supremely well at Newmarket winning the Guineas, and the same at the Curragh. And again, she always looked the winner of Royal Ascot last time out. But I've seen loads of milers come into this with outstanding form claims and come up short because it's just an entirely different test. One of my all-time favourites, a mare called Alba Hathaway. She was beaten a short head in the Guineas, one of the best Guineas ever run, and then won the Irish Guineas very well. And she won, I think she won the Falmouth before coming here, but just didn't stay the trip at all. It was a massive disappointment to me because I absolutely adored that filly. And I think Winter's in the same sort of boat. You know, she's a really high-class filly. There's nothing at all wrong with her attitude. But she just doesn't look a stayer. If Aidan O'Brien wanted to put her away and bring her back next season and turn her into a mile and a quarter horse, he'd probably manage to do that. But you've got to train them slightly differently, I think. And she just has too much natural speed to be staying this trip. So I definitely want to be against her at 13-8.
She gets £8 on the next three in the market, but you just think if she doesn't stay...
If you don't stay, it doesn't matter how much weight you're getting if you don't stay. Obviously, if she does stay, she wins this easily. But I'm putting my neck on the line saying I'm fairly sure she will not see the longer trip out. I'd rather the grime is a wee bit quicker for my selection, which is Queen's Trust. But for all she's been beaten a couple of times on softish grind, she's had excuses. She was a very good, I think, third or fourth in the Ribblesdale last year, when she was given an awful lot to do. And the funny thing about her, she's always given loads to do in her races. She constantly catches the eye. You watch a load of her races back and think, oh, she was just a bit closer off the home turn, she'd have won that. Royal Ascot being one again this year in the St James's Palace, not the James, in the Prince of Wales Stakes against the Colts. She almost took the eye as good a horse as any in the race. That form has already worked out, and she just was given too much to do from the back of the field again. She wants a little bit of a longer straight. She wants a race where she can run them down over a period, and Goodwood's ideal for that, I think. We saw yesterday with Breton Rock that you can come from last to first in the space of a furlong, and I think the race will be run to suit her. I think she'll be okay on the grind, but it is a slight question mark because her winning form is coming quicker. But when she's run on softer ground, first time out the season at York, for example, she just blatantly needed the run and she had a bit of a spin. And obviously at Royal Ascot last year, she raced on good to soft ground and she shaped very well there. So she hasn't looked like she doesn't handle the grind when she's been beaten. So I'm hoping she's okay. If the grind was good, I'd be even more confident. But I think you might get bigger than the 11-2 she is at the moment. And I think she's the best filly in the race of the older bunch. Clearly, Winter getting lumps of weight would be a massive danger of staying, just to mention that again. But Queen's Trust is one of the better bets of the week to me.
Queen's Trust for Rory in that one. They just want to be off in the next at Goodwood, Rory, today, so I'll let you go for that. But thanks very much for your thoughts.
Thank you very much indeed.
On tomorrow's racing, and thanks very much to you for listening to this racing podcast from William Hill.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.